So glad you guys are here. And for those of you guys joining us online, it's the last one. Last one. Nice work, by the way. Does 8 weeks seem like a long time or a short time? I don't know. Yeah? I feel like I love doing 8 weeks because it gives you a chance to, you know, we can usually commit to something for a fairly short period of time. But I was realizing when I was talking to Becca today, you know, we've been doing things with Proverbs and the study part and the book and all of those things for almost a year. So I'm like, we've been doing this a while. So I have a couple announcements before we jump in here. So let me do that, since this is the last time that we'll be meeting all together until the Renewed Conference. That's the next thing that's on the calendar for us as Athey Women. So that one's going to be really fun. It's a two-day conference, Friday night and then Saturday. We put some extra stuff in there, not because I think we need to like follow a conference model, but because I want to provide you guys with an opportunity to get to talk, get to do some extra fun stuff. So we'll have others. We'll have one session on Friday with really good worship, and then we'll do like a dessert thing that evening. Then the next morning it starts bright and early, and you all want to get up because Debbie Metter is going to be right off the bat at, I don't know what time it is. I don't want to tell you because I don't want to scare you, and you're like, forget it, I'm not getting up that early. But it will be worth it. You will love it. So Debbie Metter is going to be speaking, and then also Sharon Fox, who's one of our elder wives. And a lot of you, you may know her, you may not, but she's not been up here on the front. Other than I might have pulled her in for a panel once or twice. But anyway, you're going to really love to hear from her too. So I'm excited for that. Prepare to be a little challenged with it. I feel like if I don't give you guys something really meaty from the Word, then I really have not done my job up here, because that's really, really what we want to do, and that's what we need. So you can sign up for that on the website June 24th and 25th. The only other summer thing we have coming up is July 22nd. We have a worship evening that we're going to do. So that will be a ton of fun. I think that's a Friday night. And then summer, don't blink, it'll be gone, and then we'll be signing up for the fall. You'll be able to sign up for the fall Bible study in August, and I think you guys know, I've announced it before, but we are going to do a study on the names of God, so that one is going to be really great. If you guys want to, maybe it's somebody that's online, maybe you have enjoyed the study, but you want to have someone else do it, you can now just get the book straight through the bookstore. You don't have to go on through the registration page or anything like that. So even, or if you're online, you can go to the Athey website and it's going to be there that you can get it through that too. So might be somebody wants to do it with a group for the summer. I've been hearing some input sometimes of some gals that are getting lots of, you know, they're here on Wednesdays and they're, you know, here at the Tuesday study. And so they're getting good Bible teaching, which is great. But what happens if you just get a bunch of it and you don't do anything with it, right? You become a little bit stagnant. So I would challenge you to think about that. Maybe it's something where you want to take the Proverbs study, or you want to take something else and maybe lead a group of high school kids, girls. Or if you want to do it with, you know, your own group of small, a small group of gals, it could be great. We are going to do a little bit of a group sort of reboot, I guess, so to speak, with our Psalm 119 study that we did a couple years ago. And this one is just going to be at your own pace. It's a real simple 6-week study. Just kind of do it as you want. We'll have some social media stuff. I'll probably pop on Instagram a few times and do like some little devotional type things. It has teachings that go with it. They're on the Athey Women YouTube channel, but they're much shorter than what I do up here. So they're just like little 20-minute things. But it's a cool thing for summer, and I love doing summer in the Psalms. It's just, and it's Psalm 119. Guys, if you did not do that one, okay, I'll stop because there's a lot I can say about that. I get real excited. Okay, so let's go. Last one, here we are, week 8. And I, you know, first of all, we probably should just recap just a smidge on where we've been. We as we've talked through these, remember from the very first week, we saw that this is written to us as someone's kids. And we talked about the very beginning. I love that they included that song. We did not, you know, sync that up, that our good, good Father. Because we had to make a decision from that very first week as we're going to study Proverbs, is are we one of his kids? As the father is telling his son or daughter what all of these good things that he has to tell us, things that he's warning us against, things that he is, you know, inviting us to be a part of into living more of a sanctified life. But that's the instructions from the father to us. And there's that decision right off the bat of, am I one of his kids? Am I one of the king's kids? It's so important for us to even before we even started the study. And then as you continue through the study, I really wanted you guys to put some skin on this, right? Whether we're talking about wisdom, whether we're talking about prudence, whether we're talking about the adulterous woman. Do you guys remember my funny pictures that my husband put together for me of these dudes? Well, they're loading here. Here we are. Remember? The simple, the scoffer, the wicked, the fool. Kind of, this is giving us just a silly little picture of what maybe we don't want to be, right? But at the same time, these characters, they're not exactly comedic either. The attributes that we cover with these characters are the ones that just, they just keep going, right? And ultimately, what this study is going to center around is wisdom. So this is back at the beginning, we looked at this and what the definition of this word means. You can go back to the introduction week and you would see this. But what I wanted to highlight and bring this back out again is just the reminder that wisdom is the right application of knowledge. We looked at all kinds of things that wisdom would tell us to stay away from. Remember the painful weeks of adulterous woman and pride, right? And envy, and how pride is really at the root of all the things that is underneath that. That's our flesh trying to work itself out in there. And that's the ugly stuff that Proverbs is trying to keep us away. But there's always these character traits, whether it's really trying to visualize what these cast members, what these characters look like, that we want to go, are we like that? Or what should I be like instead? What should this look like? But Proverbs has been intensely practical. And I think it's been a little bit of a smidge as well, revealing of who we are, right? And of the things that maybe the scriptures would examine in our own hearts that might need to ditch. But what I love about where we began and where we end is it's kind of similar. We began with wisdom. We end with Lady Wisdom as well. And we're going to really dig into the Proverbs 31 woman. So before you groan or get excited, whichever camp of that you're on, hang on. This is going to be really fun. But I want to back us up because we've looked at this passage, but I think it's important for us to see this context of this because Proverbs 31, as we look into this, is all about the right application of knowledge. You really actually see wisdom as this woman. We put some skin on her. We see the ways that she has right application of wisdom. The things that she does are never going to be incongruent with the things that we learn about wisdom. So if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and flip to Proverbs 8. And like I said, we've read this a few weeks ago, but I think it's important for us to get this backdrop before we just jump into the real practical nature of the Proverbs 31 woman. So Proverbs 8, remember the beginning of that was when it was talking about what she sounds like. And I still, even today, when I was looking back at that section of scripture and just looking at the ways that you notice that in the first verses of 8, 1 through, I don't know, around 10 or 11, she's talking. She's not quiet. She wasn't timid. She stands. She speaks loudly and boldly. That's the example. Those all the language there that keeps going on telling us about wisdom. But I want to just give us a little bit more backdrop. Let's pick it up in verse 12 of chapter 8. I, wisdom, I dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance, the way of evil, and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. You might hear a little Proverbs 31 here already. By me kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule and nobles all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, and enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness in the path of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. So we'll pause there. It's a really great study just to go through chapter 8 and compare some of it with some of even similar language that you're going to see as we look at Proverbs 31. It's that right application of knowledge. That's wisdom. So I love this section of scripture. And, you know, we call her the Proverbs 31 woman. We call her the godly woman to be praised. And she's kind of infamous a little bit. Some of us probably, you know, if you've been a Christian woman for too long and not too long in the church, you're going to, you will have some kind of impression with the Proverbs 31 woman. You might be overwhelmed by her. You might just scratch your head at her. You might get mad at her. I'm not like that. What is this? This is unattainable. So before we really look at this scripture, I want to clear up a couple things, a couple misnomers that I think are about the Proverbs 31 woman, and I want to look at a couple things that the Proverbs 31 woman is not. And the first thing, she is not only a description of a married woman, okay? Now, I know as you read Proverbs 31, it is showing you what this woman, how she acts out this application, remember, wisdom, right application of knowledge, how she is exhibiting that wisdom, that knowledge. She's doing so in the context of being a married woman. But I want to point out that just because you're not married does not mean Proverbs 31 woman does not apply to you. So in some ways, you could go practically, well, I might be married someday. So then maybe that application would ring true as it means to that. But what I think is interesting is that we know that the greatest commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And when you look at other women in Scripture, was every godly, God-fearing woman in Scripture married? So I just was thinking of some examples, and the first one that popped in my mind was Mary, the mother of Jesus. So when Mary is, you're reading about her story in Luke 2, and she is betrothed, but she's not married yet, and she's terrified, and she's probably 13 or 14 years old. She's a kid. But when you read that passage and it talks about how she hears this amazing word from the angel of God, and then her response isn't freak out, it is, be it unto me according to your word. That is astounding faith. So I don't think we can look at Mary and go, nope. Proverbs 31 is not for you because you weren't married yet. That's not the case, okay? Every one of the things that we'll look at with the Proverbs 31 woman, there are these character qualities behind it that will exhibit itself in different areas of your life. So that's one thing, that she is not only a description of a married woman. She's also not only a description of just moms. It's not only about moms. And again, I'll use the same thing with other scriptures, you know. One of these, I guess you could look at this as being more of the married woman, but an example of that too, I think of Anna, the prophetess in Luke 2, where it talks, she is a widow, she's in her 80s, and it says that she has been in the temple praying and fasting and worshiping the Lord every day. In the context of her being married, she didn't stop being a godly woman because she was no longer married, right? And she's 84. I don't know if she had children. It doesn't speak to that. But you also see other examples of women that maybe didn't have kids yet. I think of Hannah in the Bible. God-fearing woman. She prays to the Lord. She talks and is praying to God Most High. She is humbly before him, pleading her case for children. But I don't think you look at her and go, the moment that she became this, the, you know, embodied more of these attributes of Proverbs 31 couldn't happen until she had kids. You see how that doesn't quite follow? Or think of Sarah and Abram, mother of all Jewish people, of the Israelites, right? She wasn't a mom until like her 90s. Yikes. But we know from Scripture, because in 1 Peter it talks about her. In Hebrews it mentions her in the hall of faith as a godly woman. So I love this because here's, whether this is good news for you or not, but the Proverbs 31 woman is for every single one of us. It might mark different seasons, and it certainly gives us specific applications in the context of our homes, and if you are married, absolutely. But don't check it off and go, well, that's not for me because I don't follow in those categories. Got to take the whole counsel of Scripture and realize that these are talking about not just that example, how it was exemplified for the Proverbs 31 woman, but what's behind it. What was it that made her do those things? So there's another one. Another one that we need to think about with the Proverbs 31 is that she's not always a daily checklist, okay? So this one is, like I said, there's attributes and character qualities that are really daily, that we can take the character qualities, but the ways in which we exercise those qualities may show up in different ways in the many seasons of our life, right? So if you are a mom of kids, you're going to see what that looks like, and you're going to see a lot of application with that. But, you know, I don't know, 18 years ago, I didn't have kids. What did that look like then? But the attributes, the qualities are still there. And I think you'll see that as we break these down, because it's going to show up in all different seasons of our life. But it's maybe not just the ways it'll work out every day. So I love checklists, but maybe this is one that you don't have to go every day and go, did I do this, this, this? The character behind it, we had all of Proverbs, right, to tell us what this character should look like, what we need to stay away from with pride and the humility and all of the things that we've been studying in Proverbs, they kind of all come together when it comes to the character and the attributes behind this woman. The last thing about the Proverbs 31 woman is that she's not impossible. Now, sometimes that's the one that we roll our eyes and we're like, oh, yeah, she is. But she's not, because Scripture tells us that it's not. Right? Look at Proverbs 2. I love this passage. Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And we know that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. But Scripture's telling you right there that if you receive it, this is possible, right? But it says, I love the verse 2, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. When I think of inclining, it might mean that you have to move your heart a little bit. You might have to shift your direction a little bit in order to listen. You might need to clear out some distractions so that you can actually hear it. But it says, if you do it, and it's saying work hard at it, it's saying you're going to have to really look sometimes. You're going to have to seek it like silver and search for it. But it says, then you will understand. We've read other passages that we've looked at through the study that we know that his commandments are never burdensome. So when we see things, we see this beautiful model of this woman here in Proverbs 31, you need to know it's not impossible. Now, in our own strength and us just, you know, flexing our spiritual muscles, that's going to be really disappointing. But as we lean into the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit, that's that perfect relationship of seeing how these things work in. So a little fun fact, before we get into Proverbs 31, you can flip there if you want, but before I get there, I want to just point out a couple things about this passage. And one of the things about verses 10 through 31 that we're going to spend most of our time in is it's actually an acrostic in Hebrew. So an acrostic, you're going to go back, so you get the English nerd in me here. That was when they take the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet and they would start the beginning of the verse with that letter, and then they would go all the way through the alphabet. So this one works itself all the way through the Hebrew alphabet. So we're going to have a test on this, so make sure you guys get your phones out and you work on this. I thought this was interesting for some reason. So if you're like, okay, Amy, this is boring, you can just not, you know, you don't have to take a picture of it. Clearly, you're not trying to write all that down. But what I thought was interesting is I wanted to see, because I'm not a Hebrew scholar, I wanted to see what are the words that it was beginning with. Now, Hebrew, in the Hebrew, they don't read, right, what do we do, left to right? They go the other direction, okay? But I thought it was interesting to see the words that each of the letters, what it was pulling out, because we don't get to see that in our English. So this is just in the fun fact column, but I thought it was kind of cool. But one of the things that I think is the most amazing about this acrostic idea is sure, there is one idea that it was done this way because it was an acrostic perhaps helping with memorization, right? We do that in English with different things and come up with, you know, ways of remembering something. But in Hebrew, especially in Hebrew poetry, another reason why they do acrostics is to express that this is the totality of the subject. Like, we're covering this completely. And I love thinking about that way, especially as, like I told you guys about Psalm 119, that is also another acrostic. And it's all about the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. So think of that. If you do our Psalm 119, if you pick that up this summer, think of it through that lens, that this is telling you all the totality of the subject matter. So that's kind of another idea behind the Hebrew acrostic and why they would do that. This is an all-encompassing picture of this woman. So let's look at who she is. You know, we call her the godly woman, the woman to be praised. all of these things. When you turn to chapter 31, we're going to focus on chapter or verse 10 on. But I do want to just take a second to talk about the first couple verses and who this was written by, because it was probably King Solomon's mother, which that's Bathsheba. I remember the first time I actually put that together, and I was like, oh, really? Which I find interesting, because the first 9 verses she talks about like some stuff she's trying to tell her son to stay away from. You know the thing that gets the first thing of a billing of staying away from? Girls, please, please stay away from women. They will tie you up. You'll get all distracted. You need to not get into this, which is interesting given her past. She saw how David got all trapped up in that, right? So that's one of her big pieces of advice that she gives to her son. Then she goes in and talks to him specifically as a king about alcohol. She says, you will forget the law of the Lord. It will pervert your judgment. Stay away from that. So she gives her son these words of the things that he needs to just keep in mind. And then she goes on to give this picture of this woman, of this Proverbs 31 woman, and what she looks like. So I broke this down into 10 things that we can look at these verses on who the godly woman is. So the first one, the godly woman, she is valued. So start in verse 10, it says, an excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. She is valued. She has great value. I looked up that word excellent, and you can see this here in the Hebrew, it's ha'il. And the definition there is power, strength, competence, quality that renders something desirable, valuable, or useful. That's a lot within that word there. And I find that interesting, particularly as we think about our role as being a helper. And being our design of being a helper, that came before, that's even before the marriage relationship. That's part of our created design, that we're helpers. So I think it's interesting that she says right there that we are to be an excellent wife who can find, and that word excellent there, it has value and it's useful. It brings purpose to something. I think that's cool, but it's also a term of strength and quality and competence, really. That's the picture she's giving. So there's our first thing. She is valued. The second thing that we see that the godly woman, that she is trustworthy. So look at verse 11. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She is trustworthy. I want to remind you, last week when we looked at the definition of heart, remember, it's not just the warm and fuzzy thing. It's not just how you make something feel. But this is the heart of her husband trusts in her, that whole mind, emotions, the whole thing, the motivations, not just the feeling. That's the thing that his heart, mind, soul, emotion, that trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. This makes us, as we're going to continue to see this is going to make us keep asking questions like, are we trustworthy to that level in our relationships? And remember, yep, this is an example. It says to her husband, absolute applicable and right on application. If you're married, you need to think about, man, am I trustworthy to my husband? Am I bringing him gain? Or does he have to kind of watch me? Does he have to kind of watch what I'm doing with the credit card, you know? Or am I trustworthy? But don't forget the character quality that's behind all of these. These are questions we can ask ourselves. Are we trustworthy in our relationships? Are we someone that is solid? Because that's what wisdom is presenting. She's presenting us with the fact that we need to be trustworthy. The next thing that we see, the godly woman, she is to be valued. She is trustworthy. And the third thing is she does good. So look at verse 12. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. Seems pretty simple. But the context of this is that she's working to do good for him. And I'll take us back to what that word excellent was using when it was thinking that desirable and useful. Is she a helper to him? I think this verse is definitely just applying to the general things that she would be doing, the things that should be things that she could be taking care of. Is she doing that? Is she doing him good? The converse of that we could probably think of all the things that would not be good with. But then also think that, you know, again, not if it's somebody that's not married, if you're a single woman, who is your husband? And that's Christ, right? And you can think about, even in those terms of in singleness, how are you doing good to build up his church even, maybe? Maybe that's how that character quality will look for you in that season of life. So she is valued, she is trustworthy, she does good. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, I got a couple more scriptures in here, I got ahead of myself. Her Proverbs 5, 17 through 18. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her, and those who hold her fast are called blessed. I love this. I'm going to show you one more, but we talked about this one last week too. The wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down. She does good. She's not destructive with her words or her time, how she spends her money, but she's building. And that first one, just even the pleasantness, we need to use that word more. But are you pleasant to be around? Sometimes we would say, oh, of course I am. But sometimes I think we have to question, like, am I really being pleasant to be around? This was a couple weeks ago, and I was kind of doing the whole stress mom thing. I'm sure none of you guys have done that. But and I was just kind of going around the house. Everything was a mess, you know, all of those kinds of things. And you're kind of in that frantic mode where you just are cleaning and doing things, and it's like it just never seems to end. And I did kind of pause. I don't know. I just thank the Lord and his word. But something came to my mind, and I just kind of stopped and went, you're not being very pleasant to be around. I don't even think I said it out loud. But I kind of checked my heart. Because sometimes we can do that, and we're just sometimes honestly not very pleasant. We need to think about that. How can we be doing good? That's the picture that we get here with the Proverbs 31 on this. So she is valued, she's trustworthy, she does good, and this one, we're going to have to spend some time here. She works hard. Look at all those verses that I list there, guys. We're going to go through each of these because it's not even that long of a section of, of Scripture, but there's a lot of them that focus on working hard and the different ways that we can work hard. So if you're a Bible marker, yep, get that pen out. I love this. But maybe circle a couple of these things on how she works. So one of the things, let's start with verse 13, this section, verse 13 all the way through 19. But 13 says, she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. Now, don't get lost in the biblical picture because most of you are probably not going around trying to find your wool and your flax. But the thing is, she's working willingly. That's convicting to me. Sometimes there's work that we might do because we're supposed to, but we might do it a little begrudgingly. But the word here is that, man, do you work willingly? That's how she works. I love that key. She works willingly. Verse 14, she is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. Again, I think it's easy to get lost in some of the biblical imagery here because you're going, I'm actually ordering everything from Amazon and I have no ships coming to my house, okay? But don't lose it there because it says she brings her food from afar. I think the picture that it's giving us is she does stuff that's kind of hard. It's not necessarily convenient. She might actually, in the sake of her family's budget, go to the store that is 10 times further because she had that coupon over there. She might. She might not do just the things that because they're easy. Whether that is, I admire some of the mamas that I've known that have decided to homeschool their kids. Do you think they chose that because that was going to be the easy way out? No way. They do what is not necessarily convenient. Work hard, willingly, and don't necessarily just go for the thing that is convenient. Okay, verse 15, she rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. And now I've lost the entire room because you're like, I was with you until you said I had to get up early and now forget it. So I understand. But here's the thing. Remember what we talked about, seasons of life. This is not a daily checklist to go, well, did you get up at 5 this morning? You didn't? Well, you're not really doing the Proverbs 31 thing then, are you? That's not what this is. Now, we see this attribute in working hard. We've seen that she's willing. We see that she is willing to do the things that is not even convenient at times. Sometimes getting up early is not convenient. But there will be seasons. If you're a brand new mama and you've got a newborn, this one's real easy for you because you're just finding I might as well not go to sleep anyway. But the idea here is that there may be seasons where not necessarily convenient, but maybe the Lord's like, I would like you to get up early and just spend time with me. You're going to think I'm really crazy now, but there was a particular season, and I believe it was before I was pregnant with my first even, but I had one of these kind of seasons of life where, unfortunately for my sleep at the time, I really felt like the Lord was asking me to get up, are you ready, at 4 a.m. Yep, I know. I do not do that today, unless I just can't sleep. That happens often. But I'm just saying. But it was a season where I knew that that was something the Lord really wanted me to do. I really didn't know why. I look back at it now, and sometimes I wonder if, when the Lord's asking for that extra time with you, if it is because there's something coming up down the road that he needs to make some extra deposits. He wants some extra time in your in the Word. He wants you to be really spending some time with him. And as I look back at it now, I was about to cross into the whole motherhood thing. I didn't know that at the time. But I had this couple month season where I was where I would get up at 4 a.m. Yes, I took a nap later in the day. But it was something that there was just this season of life that I felt like the Lord was asking me to do that. I know. Not convenient, and it sounds a little crazy, but you know what? Sometimes we get up early. But this isn't always necessarily just about, like, that there isn't a time. Again, not the checklist in that you must do this. It's not that. But what's that attitude behind that? It's work. All of these passages on this is this gal works really hard, and sometimes at the cost of her own sleep. She works really hard. So I love all these. Okay, there's a few more, guys, because again, this is a big deal for this gal. Verse 16, I'm going to combine verse 16 and verse 24 because I think they're similar and talking about similar things. But 16 says, she considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. Now I'm going to also read verse 24. It says, she makes linen garments and sells them, and she delivers sashes to the merchants. Okay, this is another one, again. She's definitely a worker here. She's industrious. She's smart. But you can also look at this and see that her work is not just in the home in every season of life. You can see that there are things that she is doing even outside of her home. But one of the things, because people often point to the scripture and go, see the Proverbs 31, she was working out of the home, so therefore I need to be working out of the home. I got to put a great big caveat on that because I do think there could be seasons where maybe if you're married, your husband asks you to do that. But the thing that I think is key is because every time she will be working out of the home following this model, it will be for her home, for the benefit of those that she's caring for. It won't be for personal gain. It won't be because, man, I had big dreams, I had big goals, I need to do this. Y'all getting disgusted with my pronoun here? If you find that that is the thing that is driving that pursuit for you to work outside the home yourself, then you're probably off course. So it's not saying that she won't ever do work out of the home, nope. But it is saying that all of these things, you'll notice who's benefiting from it. Her husband, her family. Whatever season or context of life you're in, it's for the benefit of others. It's not to elevate her and, you know, for her to be a girl boss. It's not that, okay? So there's that one. Let's do 17. Here's another one on work. Verse 17, she dresses herself with dignity, or no, I'm sorry, she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Now, I said dignity because you know where I'm going with that one in a minute. But just focus on the last part of that. She makes her arms strong. I was looking at a commentary on this, and it pointed out that the dressing herself with strength and the combination with her arms strong was implying that it is not just physical strength, but also mental strength. But there's a strength to her. I love this. Okay, verse 18 kind of goes with 15 and 16 here. Verse 18 says, she perceives that her merchandise is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. Boy, this one, again, with the lamp that does not go out at night, it makes me think of, you know, when you know all the things that you need to do the next day, so you stay up a little bit longer to get that list done. She plans ahead. She is looking at the needs of what she has got going on, and she is planning ahead, even if it means we're staying up a little bit extra. I love this. So there's verse 19. Let's look at that one. Still at work. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. Again, the biblical imagery, most of us are not weaving fabric. When I looked at that, I thought, if somebody thought this was an Apple application that you must sew, bless my dear mother. She's an amazing seamstress, and she tried to teach me to sew, and patience of Job, it was not to be born. So thankfully, Proverbs 31 is not necessarily saying that we have to be sewing, we have to be this amazing seamstress. But what I think is interesting about the picture this one gives is that you should be able to see something with your labor. Like, your labor should produce something that you can actually look at. I think that's cool. You know, as a gal that is a little bit on the organizational nerd side, organizing a closet brings me great joy. You know, it's a little messy at the beginning, and nobody really loves that part. Some of us do. I don't know. But when you're done, and you walk into a closet that has been reorganized with labels, color coded, you know, you can see the efforts of your labor. And it does benefit your family. It benefits your home. Even if you live by yourself, it benefits you because you can find everything faster, right? But there is just a benefit to something that you can see. You can see what you did with it. But I also think that there might be a picture even here of things that you can't see in the physical sense, but spiritually, things that you can see. You know, when you think of the things that you're praying for, I don't remember when it went out, but I did a podcast recently about the things that you're praying for. And there's some of you that have been praying for something for years. 4 years. And my encouragement to you is to keep praying. Keep praying. Do not quit. But then there's those things that maybe you've prayed for just for a couple months, or maybe it was for a couple years. But what, I mean, and if that's you, you know that joy of when you see that prayer answered. When you've been praying for something to, you know, to change, maybe in the heart of your kids or in your relationship with someone else, and you never said anything, you just sought the Lord about it, you just prayed about it, and then you see the fruit of that labor in prayer. I think there's pictures in both ways, but she produces something, I think is the picture that it's giving us in verse 19. Okay, verse 21 and 22. So I'm skipping 20. We'll come back to that. Verse 21, she is not afraid of snow, for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen purple. Now, the picture with these is, and why it's saying the fine linen and purple, those would have been really costly in biblical times. That was the top of the line of what she could provide as far as what it would cost her. So there's a couple things I love about this passage. One of it is I think that we see in how she's been the ant. Remember when we talked about diligence and the ant and how the ant prepares? And when it's summer and days are kind of good, the ant is busy working hard, being prepared for when it's not so good. That was the picture that the ant, that's what she's doing right here. She knows that winter's coming. She knows that there could be hard days ahead. And so she's preparing. I've really been thinking about this one a lot for us right now during this season of life for us, because I sort of feel like we are in this zone right now where what are we preparing for? But it feels like whether it just means that the Lord is wanting you to just be entrenched in his word, I think there could be reason for that. One, because it's always good in our relationship with the Lord, but is there even a sense of it preparing us for what is to come down the road and harder times? But that's the picture she gives us, is that she's prepared. She's been the aunt, but also that she spares no expense in how she cares for her home and for her family. Now, don't think that this only speaks of money, because remember, we talk about different seasons. There can be things that are costly to you that might not be about money. When Chris and I were first married, I rationed his milk. He was a real big milk drinker back then. And I was like, you know what? This is the gallon, and you don't have another one for, you know, I don't remember what it was at the time, but it was a long time. So you have seasons of life where you don't have the finances, perhaps, that this would be in a financial sense of how she would be blessing her family. But perhaps this is in your time, in your energy for those that you take care of. Take it out of just that marriage and family context, this is that unselfish attitude that we're talking about. This is that humility of putting other people first, even when it costs us. Even when it costs us. I love this verse, and I think this is the last one we'll cover in this work section, but verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Does not eat the bread of idleness. You guys are about to go into summer zone. For some of you, it's like, my schedule seriously does not change. But for others, your schedule might have a little bit more breathing room. That can be great. It can also be a time where this little piece of bread gets real tasty. The bread of idleness. We talk about it often. You just need to be guarded about and disciplined about your time. Because if anybody sat there with a social media feed or your favorite game on your phone or your iPad, and then all of a sudden it's 30 minutes, it's an hour, that can turn into the bread of idleness. That's something we need to be guarded about. So those were a lot of verses about work. And I, for some reason, that is strangely encouraging to me. Because I, just as we were talking about how back in Genesis and it talks about our created design is to be helpers, we're not to be given to this, to idleness, we're created to get some things done. And the Lord is giving us instructions on what this should look like in any season of your life. It might look different, but it's never like vacation, I guess you just don't need to work for a while. In that capacity. Do you know what I'm saying? There's all kinds of ways that work can look. Okay, I gotta move. I'm taking too long. Okay, I'm on number 5. Oh dear. Okay, so she is valued, she's trustworthy, she does good, she works hard, she is generous. She's generous. And again, this could be with time, this could be with money, it could be with opening up your home and just showing hospitality. But she shows that she is generous. Let's just read verse 20 real quick. It says, she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. And that needy, that could be a broad definition, couldn't it? It could be the actual poor. It could be the homeless. It could be those who need you right now. It could just be that. But she's generous with her time, with her money, with her resources. Okay, so here we are on our list. We're on number 6. She is also an asset. I love this. Verse 23 says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. What I think is interesting about this, I think this goes a little bit with number 3, that she does good. It says she does good for her husband. But I think this one maybe even goes as an encouragement to go above and beyond. You know, it's bringing that notice and respect, I mean, far beyond what should be called for within your normal duties of just doing good. This is elevating and respecting, and I'm going to bring this one right to wives in this context, with how respectful can you be? This is above and beyond, are you treating your husband with respect? So much so that it's noticed. Your husband is noticed because of the type of respect that you give. You know, that can be a challenging one for us. But, you know, when Scripture tells us to respect our husbands, it actually, in Ephesians, the word it uses is reverence your husband. The only other time that word is used is when it's talking about how we are to reverence God. Piece of cake, right? God is perfect. But if you're married, you know your husband's a sinner. He's not perfect. But the Scriptures do not tell us to respect our husbands if they're perfect or if they always say the right thing. No, it says to respect, to reverence your husband. I love this with the Proverbs 31 woman, that her the level of respect that she's bringing to her husband is going above and beyond, and is so much so that he is noticed by other people by the respect that she gives. I think that's really interesting. So, okay, she is an asset. She is also well-dressed. Okay, you knew I'd get there, right? This is the famous one. But let's talk about this, because let's read the verse here, verse 25. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. Such a great verse. I'm pretty sure it's not just talking about the brands that she's wearing, right? Nobody, I haven't seen, there probably somebody did probably think they're really clever and come up with a strength and dignity brand, but it's not that, right? But we know, and I don't think it's necessarily just talking about modesty. I do think the modesty is in the equation, because as we've seen with this woman, she's encompassing all the things that we've been studying throughout Proverbs and what wisdom would look like. And she's not going to be representing herself in a way that is incongruent with wisdom. That's why I've asked you guys to really picture what wisdom looks like and think about, am I representing myself in that way? Because I think that's where modesty comes in. Not necessarily in, you know, nailing down exactly, how long the skirt should be or anything like that. It's the heart behind that. How are you choosing to be exemplified. But what I think is interesting is this idea of clothing that Scripture kind of uses broadly. So look at these. In 1 Peter 3:4, it says, "But let your adorning," so this is a type of clothing kind of thing, an ornament of some kind that she would wear, "be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious." So we can add that, you know, as you're going ahead and putting on your strength and your dignity, you're now putting on your gentle and quiet spirit as clothing. Okay, we're getting quite the wardrobe, but there's a few more. So Proverbs 3, 21 through 22 says, "My son, do not lose sight of these." It says, "Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and an adornment for your neck." There it is again. This time, we're wearing wisdom and discretion. Also, Proverbs 4, 9. "She," wisdom, "will place on your head a graceful garland, and she will bestow on you a beautiful crown." All of these are things that we wear. Scripture does this, and I think this is interesting because there's a couple things about clothing. Clothing's obvious. It's visible to other people. You can't, if I'm wearing a red sweater, I'm wearing a red sweater. Everybody can see it, right? I think it's kind of the same thing that it's telling us when we're talking about wisdom, discretion, gentleness, quiet spirit, all of these things. Wisdom, are we wearing them, meaning are they obvious? Can people see those things on us, just like they would see our clothes? And I love how Scripture takes this even further, because it takes us even into how we are robed in righteousness. Our salvation is pictured in clothing. Isaiah 61:10 is likened to this. It says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness." I love this picture. He clothes us. He covers us. So I think this passage needs to take a little bit more of just a really nice saying, but we need to up the level on that a little bit and go, man, strength and dignity, are those seen on me as obvious as the clothes that I'm wearing? Okay, so back to our list here. I think we're on number 8, maybe. Let's see. She is an asset. She is well-dressed. The 8, she speaks kindness. She speaks kindness, it says in chapter 31, verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Boy, I love this. I have this up here in the King James because to me it's just the only way you can say this verse. "But be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." We're to be kind. It's probably the simplest one on our list. It might not always be easy every time, but we've learned there's lots of things that we are going to be asked to do that might not be convenient. But she's just kind. How far does just a kind word go? When we looked at all the words last week and the 20,000 words that we speak, and probably far more than that that we think, do we think kind things? Do we say kind things? Just being kind. I love this, because that's the "be this," but then this is the one that we want to stay away from. 1 Timothy 5:13 says that they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and this is talking about women, not only idlers, but also gossips, busybodies, and saying what they should not. We've looked at this in pretty much quite in depth as we've gone through this, about the things that we are not to say, but do you notice that the idler popped back in there too? Sometimes when we're idle, well, we fill our time with things. And in this case, it's pointing out that, man, sometimes when you're idle, you fill your time with things that are not edifying, being a busybody, going around stirring up trouble that you shouldn't be. All kind of rooted from idleness, too, which is interesting to me. But back in Proverbs 8, that we read earlier, in verse 7 and 8, it says, "Wickedness is an abomination to my lips." And she also says that nothing twisted or crooked is in my mouth. So wisdom is not going to portray that type of word. She's going to have kindness on her lips. Okay, we're getting there. Number 9. So she is valued. She's trustworthy. She does good. She works hard. She's generous. She is an asset. She is well-dressed. She speaks kindness. And then she is praised. Do people notice that you notice things that you do that are praiseworthy. This doesn't speak to the motivation of why we do something. We don't do something because we want people to notice and tell us how good we're doing it. That's not the point. We're to do all things as unto the Lord. But it's interesting that the outcome of as we do things unto the Lord, the outcome will be a blessing to others, right? You'll be doing things that will benefit other people. That's what the outcome will be. And maybe this can be just a little bit of a check of, am I doing things that are praiseworthy? If I haven't heard, or if somebody hasn't actually given me a word of approving the things that are excellent, maybe I'm not doing things or exhibiting those things in a way that are meriting praise. But I would also flip this and say, boy, are you noticing the things in others that are praiseworthy? And are you building them up and edifying them and encouraging them and letting them know the things that they have blessed you with? It's all about, it comes back to where that she speaks kindness, right? But having that word of encouragement, sometimes we think this is silly, but we'll go, oh, I don't need to tell that person that. They already know, I'm sure. They know they're doing a good job with that. They probably don't. Or they probably, you know, are all up in their head about something, and you just never know the thing that the Holy Spirit might put on your heart to encourage somebody, just to give them a word of praise of where they're doing. But if you get that prompting, write the note. Send the text. Just tell them. Because that is one way that we are using our words to build others and the relationships around us. We're building those people up. The last one, and we're almost done. The last one is number 10, she surpasses all, for she fears the Lord. So let's read these last couple verses here. Starting in, actually, I'm going to back up and do to 29. Many women have done excellently. That's that same word that we read in verse 10. But you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. It's interesting. This last part, it says a woman who fears the Lord. That is the key. That is the whole enchilada with Proverbs, right? That she fears the Lord. Proverbs 9:10, just to remind you of that, when it said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. What I love about this is that we kind of end where we began. You know, we began with looking at what wisdom is, and we looked at some of these early verses that said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so we talked about what that should look like. How we should adjust what our idea is of fear and instead exchange that out for true reverence of the Lord. That's the piece that it says you start there and wisdom just comes. So I love that we started there, but we also end there because that woman, she's the one that surpasses all because she fears the Lord. And I want to say with this whole list, with Proverbs 31, I know you all wrote down Amy's 10 things, okay? Take it with a grain of salt. But here's the thing. Resist the temptation to make Proverbs 31 just a list for yourself and constantly evaluating, okay, myself. You know, again, look at the motivation behind it. Because what this is about is the woman that fears the Lord. If you just take all of your attention, all of your focus, and focus it on the Lord, and the fear of the Lord, that is the beginning of wisdom, this, Proverbs 31, this will be the outcome of that pursuit. And it'll be so much easier because your focus will be not on all the things that you feel like you are failing at, but your focus will be on the Lord. And out of that fear, out of that reverence, out of that love for the Lord, these things will be such a natural outpouring of what this woman should look like. Two more passages. One of these, I know this is a repeat, but again, this is reminding us of how we are to get it. We already read this one, so I'm not going to go through it, but remember, there's some work to it. We spend a lot of time looking at verses about work. You may have to work at making your ear attentive, inclining your heart to understanding, and searching for it, but having value with it. Finishing the rest of that part, it says in verse 6 of chapter 2, for the Lord gives wisdom. And from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and he is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding in the paths of justice and watching over the way of the saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity in every good path. So our study will end with this. Knowing that the wisdom comes from the Lord, our focus just needs to be right there and learning who he is, what the fear of the Lord looks like. And it says all of these sweet things that he then blesses us with. It says that he's a shield to us, that he guards our paths, and he's watching over the way of the saints. You have to love just the sweetness of the Lord. We've had this amazing book that's been very practical. It's been a little bit, painful at times. But at the end of it, I just love that the Lord loves and cares enough about every single one of us that he didn't want us to see the path of destruction, like all those other characters that we looked at, the fool and the simple, the adulterous woman. He loves you, he wants good things for you, and he gives you this sweet practical book to just point you in the ways of wisdom. Proverbs 31 is super practical in this application, and pray about what that application looks like for you in the season of life you're in. But it's for every single one of us. Let's close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we are just so thankful for this time. These last few weeks have just been a rich time in your word, and Lord, what a gift it is to us. Lord, we thank you for how active, how living, how powerful your word is. That it's not our words, it's not some good advice, but it actually is living, active, and powerful. And Lord, it changes us. There's some that came into this study one way and are going to leave a different way, and we're thankful for that, Lord. We are thankful that your word does that it changes us. Lord, I pray for anyone that has participated in this study that they would first make sure that they are a daughter of the King, that they would be able to hear the love that you have through this book, through your wisdom that comes from your mouth, that is kind, that is loving, that puts us on a path of righteousness. So Lord, I pray that this study would not leave us with a checkbox that we're done with Proverbs, we got it done. Instead, Lord, I pray that this would leave with every one of us just a hunger for your word. That this study would just even serve as an appetizer to go in deeper to the things of your word. Lord, would you teach us by your Holy Spirit? Would you just open up our eyes to the wondrous words of your law? We are so thankful. So I thank you for the ladies that have just invested so much time into the study. I pray that you would just absolutely bless their own study and that we would all just be women that are likened to this Proverbs 31 woman who fears the Lord. So thank you, Lord, for how you have taught us, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.